Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He brings his son in scarf and shirt, wide-eyed at the language of men, like his father did before his first game, preparing at the moon underwater. I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub.
Hi, Robbie.
Hello. Oh, Dan, pull up a pew. How are you?
Thanks. I'm very well, thanks, mate. You?
The usual?
Yes, please.
What's the usual these days?
Pint of mead, please.
Mead. You enjoying the mead at the minute?
I am really into it.
What do you like about mead so much?
It's tasty.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason, I suppose.
Really nice.
Is that all you got on mead?
Yep.
Just tasty.
It's tasty.
What have you been up to?
I've joined the local Cloud Club. Have you ever been to the Cloud Club?
Which one? Are you talking about the one that admires the sky or the one that discusses solutions to internet-based file storage?
Yes, because there are two.
There's two. They're very confusing.
It is confusing. No,
one's .com, one's .co.uk.
Yeah. It's the first one.
The first one.
And we go up to the meadow and we lie down and we look at the clouds and see what we can see.
Wonderful. How many members?
Three. Yeah, I'm the third.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're hoping to expand.
Hoping a lot.
That's good. Well, I don't mind, really. Once you're up there, it's quite meditative. Do you want to know what I saw? What cloud shapes I saw?
Cumulus. Is that one?
Yep. No. I mean, but we look for real shapes. Oh, we're not really bothered about the
type of cloud.
The nimbus and the stratus and all of that. No.
What did you see then?
I saw a sheep.
Was it a cloud or was it a sheep?
Cloud.
Right.
I saw a...
You were looking at the sky because if you're in a field looking around, you might have seen a sheep.
I saw a ball of whitish wool,
right,
and a yak. That's my three this week.
Right, okay, good chat. Do you know what I should mention, actually, Dan? That was a quite incredible lecture you gave last night.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. You, as I recall, it culminated with you explaining the meaning of life And you were very clear on exactly eight words. Could you just remind me what that was? I recall none of them were I remember you specifically saying none of the words are or any other noises other than the eight words.
Did it include the meaning of life is within it?
You tell me, Dan.
Okay. The meaning of life is to just... Sing. Yeah.
I mean, and then you went into that dance routine, didn't you?
It's also metaphorical, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not completely.
That's what I like about a lot of your art, Dan. It starts off as like a lecture about philosophy and ends in a wonderful show tune. So
I love musicals. I do.
Sorry, I'm not talking about musicals. Who is that riding in on a stallion in the distance there? To the moon underworld. I think. I think it's the musician. Sophie, Sophie, pull up, Sophie. Park your horse and come in. How are you?
Well, giddy up, boys. Let's go. Hello. How are you both?
Very well. How was your journey here today?
Oh, it was bumpy.
Was it?
Yeah.
Very, very cobblestony around here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're here to talk pubs. What were your first experiences of pubs?
My first experience of pubs, I think in the area that I grew up in, all the pubs kept getting shut down.
Where's that?
Well, I grew up in a town called Oakham, which is just outside of Leicester in the East Midlands. Mm-hmm. And all the pubs kept getting shut down for like serving people underage.
People like me.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, it was a lot of like house parties and stuff like that. But I actually did work in a pub in my village, which was a very interesting experience.
What was the pub called?
The Blue Ball.
Ball?
Yeah, the Blue Ball.
Right.
Oh. Quite a funny name. Like,
yeah. Very funny name, yeah.
What was the picture? Just a blue ball?
Hanging, like, no, I'm joking. Yeah. just a blue ball, literally.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it like working in a pub? Because I've never worked in a pub.
Have you not?
Never.
I wouldn't recommend. I don't know. I think it's funny, like, when you work at something when you're really young, I think I was like 16, 17, you don't know. Can I swear on this thing?
Yeah.
You don't know what the fuck you're doing. And I think like at anything, because obviously like you've not really been in a pub before, so you don't really know what to do. And I was rubbish at it, but I used to.
So you were working there before you'd been a patron?
Yeah. I had never really been in a pub that much. And my parents aren't massive drinkers. I don't really know where I got my personality from, but I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I used to write positive reviews about myself on TripAdvisor. I'd create like pseudonyms. One of them was called Andrew Outdoors, because it's like a village of a lot of people go walking. Yeah. So I was like, that seems to be something that someone would use as a name.
Yeah.
And I'd make positive reviews about myself and like my service, and then
and name check yourself. And
I'd be like, Sophie, our waitress was lovely, and stuff like that all the time. Yeah.
So how often were you doing this?
Oh, not like maybe once or twice a month. Quite a lot, actually. And like when at the time it seemed legitimate, but now it seems like a really a lot of
good
reviews. Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's did you fantastic point it out to your boss? You sort of go, no, oh, he came, see,
he came
review
to me.
About me.
He came to me after I did it. I was like, oh, this will be fine. I'll do it for a laugh. And then he came to me and he was like, did you see the reviews over the weekend? Well done. And I was like, thanks. So I just kept doing it. Yeah.
Wow. So if people go on to the Blue Balls TripAdvisor, they might well see some of your.
Yeah, they will be.
Work.
Yeah, they. Yeah. I think they're still there.
Wonderful.
I think they're still there.
And be really disappointed when you're not serving anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, it was years ago now. It you was years, years ago.
Go on there and leave things. When's Sophie going to?
Yeah, I was like, where is Sophie?
Where is Sophie? She was
from
great.
10 years ago. She was wonderful. Yeah.
Have you worked in a pub, Dan?
No, I haven't actually.
No.
You guys haven't lived. Working in a pub is like a rite of passage. Where did you grow up?
I worked in Tesco.
Okay. Yeah, I think people either do retail or hospitality.
Yeah.
That does seem to be a thing.
Yeah.
But also where I grew up, no shops will hire you. I applied for like Co-op, Tesco, no one would hire me.
I got turned down for Tesco, and then they phoned me back up and said, can you come? So obviously they didn't have enough people, or other people had left. I don't know. So I initially got turned down, but I got accepted on appeal.
That was, they had to come crawling back.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they weren't really crawling. They just said, do you want a job?
Okay.
Haven't got one, so yeah. I was worked in Tesco before I was 18, and there I wasn't allowed to sell alcohol without permission from someone. Is that a similar thing in pubs or anything?
I think legally, yes, but...
But anything goes at the Blue Ball.
Literally anything does go at the Blue Ball. It's a nice pub. It's a nice pub.
It's got great staff, I heard.
It has really great staff. This is one girl. Yeah. Like...
Did you go to pubs growing up at all? So as a youngster, when did you
start? I don't remember. I don't think I do. And I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I don't remember being in a pub like I said, my parents aren't big drinkers. Well, I think if they were drinking, they obviously wanted to drink and not be with us. I remember one time when it was the World Cup or something. My dad really likes football. And we were living in town at the time. And I think I was about like 5. My brother was a bit younger. And my dad wanted to go and watch a game, but it was one of the World Cups where it was in like some weird place that had a really weird time zone, and my dad wanted to go and watch a match, and I think it started at 9 a.m. or something like that, and he went to the pub and he came back
probably the 2002
I think that was it. It was that and he, I remember him just coming back, and me and my brother, I don't think could, because usually we'd be in bed if like my parents came back and they'd be like woo, but I remember we were all playing in the garden afterwards and he was like lying on the floor and we were covering him and stuff, and we were like, daddy, what's wrong? And that was so funny. But yeah, that's my earliest memory. I don't remember ever going to a pub when I was a kid, apart from like for family meals.
Terrific. Okay, well, it's time to get on to designing your dream pub,
yes,
Sophie.
Let's
go. So first of all, you get two choices on draft. What's your first one going
to
be?
So my first choice, and I am aware from listening to this that a lot of people choose it, but I couldn't have my dream pub and not choose it, but it's Guinness.
Fair enough. It's your pub.
I just love Guinness. Like having a pint of Guinness is like coming home to like a friend that like gives you a nice warm hug and like makes you ingest like 500 calories in one gulp. I just love it. Like I only started drinking it when I moved to London and I met my best mate who's called Ed. He's in my band. And we became like drinking buddies, going out like after rehearsal and stuff. And he actually introduced me to it. And then, I don't know, there's something about your first sip of Guinness. I was like, what the fuck? This is delicious.
That's interesting. Yeah. Your first sip, you went for it. Because I think a lot of people sort of go, oh, the first time I had it wasn't...
Yeah, I'd only ever have it on St. Patrick's Day, if I was out drinking then, or if I was in Ireland, until last summer.
I've never been to Ireland and I really want to go. I want to go to the storehouse because I drink a lot of Guinness.
But
I think maybe it's because I had it first when I was like 23. I think when you have it like younger, then maybe your palate develops, doesn't it? Yeah.
You've had a lot more. You've got quite into it as well, haven't you? We both have.
It's interesting since we've been doing the pod, actually. I would drink it occasionally, but then people kept choosing it. And it sort of gets into your head. And I started going to pub and going, actually, I fancy a Guinness. And started sort of drinking it more often now.
I love it. Also, there's this place where we used to go to. We used to go to this rehearsal studio in Holloway that's called Storm Studios. Yeah. Like, no offense, Storm Studios. I doubt they're listening, but it's like proper shit. It's got like carpeted walls and stuff. And the gears
are rehearsal studios are like that, aren't they?
But the sound in there is not good. But we love it for sentimental reasons. We don't go there anymore. But there used to be a Spoons opposite that called The Coronet, which is now no longer a Spoons. Which is really upsetting. But you used to be able to go in there just a few years ago and get a Guinness for like £4.
Oh, wow.
Maybe £4.10. So we used to go there all the time. One time I looked at my Monzo statement for the Coronet because we were like, we spend so much time in here and it was...
Self-reflection after that.
The Coronet... If you've never been there, it's a beautiful old building. It used to be a cinema, I think.
Where is it?
It's on Holloway Road. If you ever go around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a cinema. It's huge. Yeah. It doesn't look like a Spoons.
Okay.
It's probably because it's not a Spoons anymore.
Yeah.
But it was a Spoons until really recently. We always used to make a point of going there because you spend so much time there.
I've seen a couple of pubs recently of de-spooned.
Yeah, they de-spooned, man, and we had no idea. We went in and we were like, something feels off because they're playing music. Right. And it's like, this is very strange. But it was quite late at night. So we're like, oh, maybe they're just like winding down, whatever. And then got out the app, the Wetherspoons app, went to order, and we were like, can't find it.
Like, been de-spooned.
Yeah, been de-spooned. So strange. But no one told us. Why would they?
Yeah, they've got someone at the door just going, we've de-spooned, by the way.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Now de-spooned.
It's a real shame. What's your guys' take on spoons? A lot of people are very anti, but I love it. And I know it's problematic,
like it,
but I love it.
I don't like the... I'm not a big fan of the man with the sheep's head that runs it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But
when you're drinking a £4 pint of Guinness, you kind of just
value.
Go, ooh,
they generally have good car scales.
Yeah.
I think
I
don't mind. Yeah, the app's good.
It's a good option. Me and Jim, once we were trying to have a drink in Victoria Station and we actually went to the sports bar, Victoria Station.
Yeah, the one that's above, in the concourse.
Yeah.
Is that what the word for it? Concourse?
Yeah.
I think so. It's a word that you hear and you never use.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever used that in my life.
And they said, wait, you've used it perfectly.
Yes, fabulous.
And we went to the sports bar and they went, she went, look, do you know what? We're closing in 15 minutes. So unless you're really going to drink it quickly, I'd probably go to Spoons if I were you. But we were like, okay. So we went back down, went up to Spoons, had a nice... leisurely pint before we went home.
Lovely.
So it's kind of reliable for that. Like, you know, it's going to be open late maybe. And as you say, they had Abbott's ale. I do like Abbott's.
I've got three kids. It's good cheap food.
It is good cheap food. We actually ended up going last night after I didn't get into the other one, but the ID man, obviously they always let you into Spoons. And we played that game talking about the food. Do you ever hear about people playing that game where they like put the table number on their Instagram? And since I've become a internet cult micro celebrity, I haven't done it, and I've got like 38,000 followers now. So we're like, oh, this will be a laugh, let's do it. And people were sending us like all kinds of shit.
Peas.
And the people came up to us.
I don't know what this game is.
This is.
Okay. I'm old, you have to explain it.
So it's a really, really good game. It's I do feel a bit bad doing it, but it is fun and you get free stuff. So you basically, you know, with, you can order through the app.
Okay.
If you put your table number on your Instagram story, you say, hello, we are at this Wetherspoons on table 41. Send us stuff. And then people can just order on the app from wherever they are and send you loads of stuff. But nice. We were hoping people would send us drinks, but it was just like peas, fried eggs, gravy. And we were getting so much stuff ordered to the table that the staff came up to us and they were like, are you guys, have you put your table number somewhere? Is it you ordering all the peas? And I was like, no, I really like peas. But then we had to eat all of the peas.
Oh,
and we ended up going into this gig and I was hoping that I'd be quite drunk, but I was just so fucking full of peas.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good spoons.
Yeah. No, my friend Jack is a YouTuber, did that a while ago, and he just got so many peas. They just said, we're not going to bring you any more peas.
Yeah, they were getting close.
They're really angry. But I don't know why they're angry, because
they're getting more money
than they would otherwise.
I know, they're like, the kitchen's really busy, guys. I was like, sounds like you need time or stuff.
Yeah. Only peas, put in the microwave.
Yeah, they weren't even nice.
Other people are waiting for their food. They go, sorry, we've got 14 orders of peas to do first.
It was peas and like pints and pints of milk.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Don't want to be wasteful. So kind of had to be like, let's stop this now. But we ended up leaving, and then I forgot to put another post up saying that we'd left. So God knows whoever else was on table 41 was getting when they took over from us.
That's when the free Guinness came. You missed it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
What's joining Guinness in your moon underwater?
So there's this other beer that is a Beaver Town. It's called Lupuloid.
Oh, I've had it.
Yeah, it's 6.7% or something. It's really strong. Strong on the like beer scale, I suppose. And they have you ever been to the Salisbury in Haringey, Green Lanes?
No.
Okay, so we used to go there all the time because the boys live really nearby. They've got a really good pub quiz. If you like pub quizzes, I would recommend going. You should go to that pub actually. It's a really, really, really nice pub.
All right.
It's beautiful.
Write it down, Dan. In your head.
In my head?
Or wherever.
Yes.
Or
it's what was it called beautiful, again? The Salisbury. Yeah, it's really, really nice. And they often like change whatever beers they have on tap, so it's quite good for that. And one time they had Lupuloid. I'd never tried it before. And Ed, my mate, had it before, and he was like, oh, let's get some of these. And I hadn't had dinner. And oh my God.
First pint as well?
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. I was wasted. I had like three, and I was wasted. wasted.
When I was skiing last year, I think I might mention this, but we were a pub, and they had this beer that we would call Wolf Beer, because it had like a werewolf, really hench wolf thing. It was cool. We were just going, oh, we have some of that. Okay, this is really nice. And the next day we were like, I'm really high. I don't know why, sort of thing. It's only like by like the Thursday of the week, we found out it was like 8% these beers that we were just like knocking.
Honestly, I felt terrible the next day and I was smashed. So I'd have that at my pub for the people who, you know, when you kind of like, you don't have a lot of time and you want to get somewhere else and you want to have like a few pints, but also kind of use it as pre's. That's why I would have that there. Because it tastes nice as well.
Yeah,
it's a nice beer. I like Beaver Town.
What do you know about it, Dan?
I mean, there's not a lot about it online, but I mean, it's Beaver Town says it's born out of an obsession for more hop flavour.
God, that sounds a bit insidious.
This hop monster.
Okay,
sounds unhealthy, really. Yeah. Obsessed with it.
Yeah,
get your work life balance better, Beaver Town.
Exactly, and they said they've added lots of heavy duty hops: Equinox for mango and papaya, Mosaic for citrus and pine, and Zingy Citra for a massive hop hit.
Massive hop hit. Yeah. Okay, that's definitely what I had.
Yeah,
I like a citrusy beer.
I do.
I was gonna choose Blue Moon.
Okay,
I love a Blue Moon with an orange slice.
Yeah, I'm not that into Blue Moon.
Are you not? I think you either love or hate.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm not. I've only had it once or twice. I'm not a regular Blue Moon drinker.
No.
I think it's a lovely colour.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
And I like, I do like a citrus, especially in the summer, I like a citrusy option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the, one of the best things about Beaver Town is the designs.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're so cool. I don't know who does them, but I love them.
It's a guy called Nick Dwyer.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's
just pulling this from...
Facts.
Yeah, I know this. Yeah. But
it's interesting where you're looking at your screen when you're saying it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
You're very shy.
he was basically a barman who do like just doodle stuff. And yeah, he's rose to become like the creative director of.
Love that for him. Yeah. That's really cool.
Well, Nick.
People get tattoos of his designs.
I'm not surprised. They're better than some like mum. Do you know what I mean? Like they're quite cool. I think they're quite nice. No offense if either of you guys have that.
I don't know.
I tell you what, Beaver Town also really good for. Their alcohol-free beers are banging.
Yeah,
really good. So we just had a month off drinking. Last night was actually my first night back. We had a month off for health and wealth reasons, mainly wealth reasons. Yeah, mainly wealth reasons, because being a musician is very expensive, and you don't make a lot of money back. So yeah, we're spending a lot of money on yet. Why am I underselling myself? I'm gonna be massive.
Yeah,
exactly.
If I keep drinking Guinness.
Yeah.
But their alcohol-free beers are really, really, really nice. So we went, obviously, we were no drinking alcohol, but not going to the pub for a month for me and Ed would be like friendship over. So I think it's important. I love the pub for like more things than just booze. Like it's where we go to like talk about ideas and like soundboard stuff. So I like going there a lot. So we actually did a tour and we keep a list of like different non-alcoholic beers that we tried, and the Beaver Town one was the best.
That's good. I did a YouTube video on tasting non-alcoholic beers before Christmas like that. There's some really good ones out there.
Some of them aren't good.
Some of them are dreadful.
Like the Heineken one tastes a lot like Heineken. We can't really tell the difference.
The Guinness one's amazing.
The Guinness one's really good.
And the Guinness one's a lot less calories. So you're worried about the calories in the main Guinness.
Yeah.
The 0% Guinness, it's pretty slimline.
Yeah, it is in comparison.
Yeah.
But the Beaver Town one's really good. Hold on.
Beaver Town do really good 2.8% beer as well. It's like somewhere in the middle.
That's nice.
I can't remember what it's called. Nanobot maybe?
Oh, that sounds right.
I'm not sure how much I'm into like half. Like you, I think you either commit or you don't.
You see,
do you know what I mean?
I got into the 2.8% ones early in lockdown after it became apparent that my life would be ruined in about a month if I didn't cut down drinking. So.
Yes.
I quite like those. Yeah, I don't mind a 2.8%, but yeah, I do a lot more alcohol-free ones.
Yeah, the alcohol-free ones are nice. I'm not going to lie. I was unpleasantly surprised by how much better I felt for not drinking.
Yeah, it's a blow, isn't it?
God! Like this, like when you get up early and you don't drink and you like eat healthy food, you do feel better. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Someone should publicise this.
I can't believe they haven't like done any articles or like a health review or something. Why is it not on the NHS website or anything? Yeah. Okay, so this is the one, Beaver Town Laser Crush. It's really good, that one.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's really good, that one.
I think I've got some in my fridge in a minute.
These are our ratings. I'll show you the one that we have for pubs later because it's extensive, and this is why I'm glad that I came on this podcast. So we have percentage, price point. We always do it in with one letter. So this one's all beginning with P.
Okay.
So we have percentage, price point, palatability, presentation, and plausibility. So like how good it tastes compared to the real thing.
Oh, okay. I think that whether or not it was existed.
Yeah. So yeah, some of these are a bit of a reach. Like in the other one, it's a like the pub rating one of all the pub we rate all the pubs we go to in London because it like forces us to go and try new places.
Nice.
And but it all begins with V. So one of them is whereabouts. So like how conveniently located it is. Yeah, okay. I'll show you. I'll get it up later.
Yeah.
It's good. Big Drop IPA. That one was bad. Stay away from that.
I'm a big fan of Big Drop.
Oh, I didn't like that. The alcohol free version, not good.
Oh.
It's quite watery.
Okay. No, I quite like the Big Drop.
I like the Big Drop.
I've never tried the
I think they just do alcohol free one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I don't do
it. Oh, I really didn't like it. Yeah. But maybe it was like.
Try
it. Different tastes.
Yeah.
The citrusy one. You can try that.
I would like that one, probably.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I like a good survey. Dan and I are doing a thing at the minute. They started off trying to go to 52 pubs in the year, but it's become very obvious that we're going to beat that massively because I'm like 34 already.
Yeah,
yeah.
52, that's like one a week, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what we're thinking.
Different ones.
That's quite a lot of travelling involved in that, I guess.
Yeah, I live in Norwich. And I'm down here a lot for recording some of that. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of pubs in Norwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 52 different pubs in Norwich.
I reckon.
Seriously?
Norwich.
How big is Norwich?
I don't know.
I've never been.
Things. It's good.
You'll be performing at the LCR.
You'll need to come. It's very good. They used to say that Norwich had 52 churches, one for every week of the year, and 365 pubs, one for every day.
Wow.
There's not that many now, but there's still a lot of pubs.
A lot of students there, isn't it? Like
yeah,
big unis.
That's we both went to the uni there. That's where
oh, did you? They've got a big big venue, isn't there, for like music stuff. UALCR, lots of people go there.
There's Waterfront. Nice. Yeah, and there's the Arts Centre. There's a few venues.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you've got
I should come. I should come.
I'll take you to pubs, show you around.
Oh, good idea. We should do that. Let's
okay.
do that.
Excellent. Have you played many gigs in pubs?
So many, yeah. Like back when we first started doing shows in 2021, we played gigs in pubs all the time. I love a gig in a pub. There's especially a pub when there's like a proper venue within the pub.
Yeah,
like it's a bit annoying when there's a pub. I know I keep going on about Camden, but we are studios in Camden, so we spend all our time in Camden. But there's a pub in Camden called the Good Mixer, and they've just got like a stage in the pub, but they always play like screamo music. And when you're sitting in there just like trying to have a quiet pint, like our studio is literally right next to that, and this guy starts like and the sound, like obviously the room is just not sound treated at all, so like the snare's like going through your head. I don't like it when it's like that. I like it to be separate, because also I was in somewhere in Liverpool as well the other day when the guy's vocal was just like so loud, and I was just trying to have a catch up with my auntie and uncle, couldn't hear myself think. So like I think it's good. I sound really old and boring, but I honestly really don't like it when you're like subjected to a gig that you don't want to be at.
Yeah.
So I like it when they have it separate. But
yeah.
Pub venues in London, so many good ones, like the Seabright Arms.
Yeah.
Done a show there. That was great. I got COVID that night at the Seabright Arms, but that was when COVID was like, whoa. But like, obviously, I'll probably have it now. Like, no one really cares anymore, do they? And what is the other one? Oh God, the Lexington. That's a great pub and a really, really nice venue as well.
Yeah.
Old Blue Last. Yeah, again, that's a right passage. Oh, that one.
Amazing. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just thinking of pub things. Yeah, Good Mixer. That was the pub of Britpop in Camden. What we're talking about, Camden pub.
History. Yeah, it's really famous. Yeah. It's really famous.
But I went there. I remember years later, I was going to see Richard Ashcroft at somewhere in Camden. From the Verve. And I thought, oh, it feels a bit Britpoppy. Let's go to a Good Mixer. Went there and Bonehead from Oasis was at the bar. I was like, all right.
Seriously,
that's exactly
they've got...
That's what I imagine it would be like in the 90s.
Yeah, it's not like that anymore, unfortunately. Mm. There's lots of photos, though.
Is there?
You can tell a pub where, like, it's like the Hawley. Like, they've got, you know, and that's what I love also is pubs where they have pictures of, like, previous stuff, like, previous people that come in, like, parties. I think it's really cool, and you can like look at it, and you're like, oh, people have been here, like, this is nice. Yeah. I like it.
Is Marathon, I can't remember what we discussed this with John Niven when he was on, but the Marathon Kebab Shop bar in Camden. Are you familiar with it? I'm not sure it's still there anymore, but it was like a kebab shop, and they had a guy who like looked a bit like sort of really skinny Elvis with an electric guitar, and he just played music there. So you go to gigs and go there at like 1 a.m. in this back of this kebab shop, and they sell beer. It was brilliant. But they had photos of all musicians that had been there, but they clearly had taken them without warning people.
Oh, that's
so
jokes.
Like photos of like Liam Gallagher eating a kebab, going looking up like startled.
That's
like,
so good.
And stuff like that. So that was really good. I do like that.
That's so good. Yeah. We're playing a festival in Malta in September that's Liam Gallagher's festival.
Oh, brilliant.
But on the bill it says Liam Gallagher and Friends. And I was like, fucking hell. Oh, my dad would be pleased. Well, I'm Liam Gallagher's friend. Never met the bloke, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I was going to say, I read your parents were big Britpop.
Yes, they were. They went to the Oasis Nebworth show.
Oh, wow. So they. Oh, yeah. Both days.
I am very, very jealous. Mm. Very jealous. But yeah, my dad, like, he loves Oasis. He loved Blur. He wasn't like, you know, when some people were really polarized, I think he was pretty straight down the middle. Maybe that some may call him a plastic fan. But
both great bands.
But my mom was more like, 80s, like George Michael. She fucking loves George Michael. Bruce Springsteen, stuff like that.
My mum was born on the exact same day and year as Bruce Springsteen.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That's interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it doesn't really lead on to anything, but it's true. It'd be a weird thing to make up, wouldn't it? What makes a good, you sort of touched it there, a good pub venue for music? Is it apart from the separate area? Are there any sort of traits that help it out?
I think having a nice bar, like where people, obviously that seems to be a given with pubs, like having a nice bar, but sometimes music venue, like the bar's really shit and it's like stuck at the back. So like an ideal one is like the Seabright Arms, where there's a really nice pub above and then the venue below. And the pub is a nice place to like hang out afterwards.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know this about music, and I didn't know this about music until I started doing music. They'd like kick you out of your own show. Like, as in afterwards, they'd be like, right, curfew, need to leave. And we're like, oh my God, with like all these amps and like guitars and stuff. And then obviously, if you want to have a drink afterwards, it's impossible because you've got like, you've got all this stuff. I mean, probably when you get roadies and stuff, when you're bigger and you have like a whole team, it doesn't work like that. But I'm not really sure if there's a bar above the O2 that you want to go to. I don't know. But yeah, when you're doing like, especially when you're playing in pubs, you have obviously like sometimes you don't even have management. So you've got like the bandits, everything. So you have to take all your stuff. And it's really annoying when you get kicked out and you're like, woo, just done a really good show, especially in the early days when like playing a show is always exciting. But when we first started playing shows, I don't think anything will beat that. Like the first time when you see someone sing your lyrics back to you, or like the first time when you like play with your band, and even if it's in like a 50 cap venue in Shoreditch and like two people are there, it's still like, I don't know, you feel like really like jubilant afterwards. You're like, woo, let's go. And it's really nice when you've got an easy place, accessible, like nice pub to go and sit in afterwards as a musician, where there's enough space for all your stuff, basically.
Yes.
you're probably still buzzing, I guess. Yeah. So you just need to sit down and just have a drink.
Yeah, that's why and when you're touring and stuff, like when we did our first headline tour last year, and obviously then you have to drive, so it's kind of like god, well, whoever's driving is like god, whereas like woo, like there's loads of videos, bless him, our drummer and our sound guy, they shared the driving, but there's loads of videos, like we like vlog all of our, I'd say vlog, I'm really not like a vlogger, but it's more like document our touring. We bought this GoPro and I'm just trying to do like, just for my own benefit, just like want to have the memories of it, and like hopefully the fans will enjoy it at some point. No one actually watches them right now, but at some point when we're doing like huge venues, people can then look back and see us like going around the toilet tour of the
UK. When you're in your big tour bus.
Exactly. So but there's so many videos of us like after a show being like, woo, and then we'll be like, can you shut up? Just like trying to drive. So funny. But yeah, I would say somewhere where you can relax afterwards is really nice.
I did a tour last year for another podcast I do, and someone gave us a tour bus, and Brand gave us a tour bus.
Whoa.
Those proper ones, which is great. Well, first of all, going, this is brilliant.
What, like a sleeper?
Yeah.
No way.
We didn't end up sleeping on it because we were in hotels, but we did nap.
I can't believe you wasted a sleeper, man. Why did you book hotels?
I know.
What a waste of a sleeper.
To get around a little bit. But then the problem was, I didn't realise, is this, once you get into sort of like proper buses and there's only one driver, you've got like real time restrictions and stuff. So it becomes really complicated because they can only drive a certain number of times.
Well, that's like when you're on like a long coach.
Yeah.
Like when you're on a really, really, really long coach journey, just travelling, they do that. And it's really annoying. Sometimes you're waiting for like an hour, just stuck in a lay-by waiting for matey boy to have pissed. You know what I mean?
And you're annoying. We'd be times where we'd be close to where we're going and we have to stop for half an hour. We're like 3 miles away.
I mean, obviously, like workers' rights.
Yes.
Because
I help the safety.
Yes. Annoying. But I've never...
It's not... Going down the pits annoying, isn't it? I suppose.
The children yearn for the mines. Have you seen that meme? Oh, God. I can't remember what it is, but it's something about like Gen Z are depressed because they yearn for the mines. I can't remember what it was, but I have to dig it out, but funny.
Right, so if you get two bottles or cans in your moon underwater, what's your first choice?
So my first choice is Lucozade.
The original?
Just the original. I actually prefer Sport, but Lucozade Sport, like the.
Oh. Right, we didn't actually tell you what this was.
Yeah, but she's listened to the show, so she's.
For people who don't know, Dan salvaged a bell from a tugboat, and when it rings, it means that one of your choices is going to materialize in the moon underwater in front of us. If you want to have something to drink, you can. If you want to take it home with you, you can. If you just don't want it, that's absolutely fine. But I think, isn't it appearing in front of us now?
It is now, slowly appearing and
shimmering in the light.
Yeah. I mean, you said, which one do you prefer? You prefer the Sport?
Wow, it's magically doing both the sport and the
Caribbean burst.
Caribbean burst.
There's orange energy and also the proper original, the very orangey.
Yeah, is the one, I think.
The one that looks like urine if you're dehydrated.
Now, is what it looks like when you don't drink one of these.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably why they do it. Like, oh, shit, I need Lucid. Thanks for reminding me.
When me and Robbie were growing up, they were in glass bottles surrounded with orange cellophane.
Really?
Yeah, and it was purely...
That's strange.
Yeah, it was... Well, because when we were kids, it wasn't a sport drink.
Wasn't it?
It was... No, it was literally... It was like, if you were ill, then you should drink Lucozade. It was sort of like a...
Medicine
of some kind. Yeah, you bought it in pharmacies.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when I can remember when I was ill, like I'll be going, oh, can I have some Lucozade?
Oh, that's and then, so sweet.
Yeah. And then in like in 1978 they started saying, oh, you know, it's also a good pick me up. And then finally in 1983 they went, oh, actually it's a sports drink.
Yeah, they keep changing their mind, don't they? Yeah.
And, well, you remember John Barnes doing the advert famously and David Thompson before him. And that, it tripled their sales making move. Like, it really revolutionised.
Power of marketing.
Yeah. You just stop things being medicine and having something all your time, it can help.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I've chosen it actually is, like, medicinal purposes. And it's because Lucozade is something I would always have to have in my pub. And it's something that we always have to have on our rider because Will, driver, he's the drummer and one of my best mates, he has diabetes and we always have to have these so he can like
balance.
drink his blood sugar and get his blood sugar up like in a show because if his blood sugar dips, it's bad news. So we've always got these on stage with us.
Oh, wow.
Really interesting. Not anything that I would really have thought about.
What
until
inclusive
I met him.
Pub you're creating here? We're looking out for diabetics.
Just my friends.
Yeah, but, your friends. But yeah.
All diabetics
can
everywhere.
Come and have this. Yeah. They're good as well. I think the next day for. Lucozade.
Yeah, it's also kind of why that I got it because I knew that I would be coming here today, having just started drinking again for the first time in a month last night.
And if
it's 11 a.m., they're not going to bring me anything alcoholic, so I'll probably give me Lucozade. So let's go.
I like the fact you've thought that through.
I'd love a pub of Lucozade, by the way, as well, because I don't like running. I do running to not be obese. And sometimes none of it's enjoyable.
I'm like that. I do it, and I'm really. People keep saying, "Oh, you're really into it, aren't you?" I don't really like it. I just force myself to do it.
Doing the long runs. I do one long run a week. I like those because you can explore places and poke around things and look at stuff.
Okay.
Like I saw on Sunday, I saw like a hedgehog safety area.
Oh, did you see any actual hedgehogs?
No. Wasn't that exciting?
That got less interesting than the words you said.
Hedgehog area.
And
went over a level crossing. I quite like level crossings and stuff like that. So I quite enjoy that aspect of it. Mm. But I will sometimes end my long run on a Sunday in a pub. If for example, I've finished away from home and I need to get a bus back and there's a little time for the bus, then I will just go to a pub near a bus stop and have a drink there. And if there was a Lucozade on offer at the bar, I'd be having that.
I reckon on tap, it would be nice.
Yeah.
I think it would be quite good as a mixer. Yeah, like that's the thing I kind of used to do at uni. We used to drink like vodka and squash. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Squadka?
No.
Don't do it. It's horrible.
Where were you at uni?
Exeter.
Oh, yeah. I'm going there for the first time in May.
It's not much there.
Is it not?
Nice cathedral. Nice
quayside. I've heard it's a nice cathedral, yeah.
Yeah, there's not much going on if you're a student. Unless you like... shooting pheasants and wearing barber jackets, but I didn't.
Really.
As soon as I got there, I was like, ooh, not really sure why I chose to come here. But eventually I made some really good friends and it was nice. I think that's the kind of thing, anything, like you can be anywhere with your best mates and you have a good time. Like I'd have a good time with the boys in a car park.
Is it a good place for pubs?
Yeah. There's a really, really nice pub in Exeter called the Old Firehouse. Okay. They do massive pizzas, like humongous. When I was there, it was quite a few years ago now, so I don't know if they're still cheap. They used to be well cheap, and you used to be able to get like a bottle of wine for like £12.
Wow,
that is good.
All right, check it out. What's your second bottle or can?
So my second can, again, not for actual enjoyment reasons. I just for pure like folklore for
the culture.
The band pub that we're creating is Carlsberg.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
The World's worst can, I would say.
You're having it in can rather than bottle.
Oh, in a can of Carlsberg. Yeah, the world's worst. It's always warm. I don't like how it tastes, but for some reason, it has like a complete and utter monopoly on the UK festival circuit. So when we were doing loads of festivals in 2022, every place you go, it's just like Carlsberg, Carlsberg, Carlsberg. And it became a bit of a running joke. We'd go up and be like, can we have a pint of your shittest lager, please? And because the only one they had was Carlsberg. They'd be like, Carlsberg? We're like, yes. And they'd be like, £7. Like, make it eight. Honestly, it is so bad. And Carlsberg, it's always warm at a festival anyway, because like warm beers and festivals just go hand in hand. But we drank a lot of it in 2022, and it just sort of became like something that we enjoy now, just by a bit of like Stockholm syndrome. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I wonder if it will still be the same, or like it was just a year where they had a lot of Carlsberg.
I think they do quite a lot of, I don't know whether it's sponsorship or whatever they do to integrate, because they always have the same, they have that, and then they have the Summersby cider, don't they?
Yeah.
It's the cider made by Carlsberg.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, Carlsberg are like doing something with the festival organisers, trust me.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite festival beer? I quite like a Red Stripe.
I like a Red Stripe. I tell you what I also like to bring with me is like those bags of wine.
The bladder.
Yeah, they're really good.
When it gets to the end, you break the box open and you can squeeze the bladder to get the extra bits
of
bladder.
Yeah, they're really good. I did that at Glastonbury a couple of years ago. And then James, my keys player, he woke up and he actually went blind. Like just momentarily in the toilets. He said that he like blacked out and was like, oh my God, I can't see. He was so hungover. And then we went to go and try and like enjoy the festival because we'd done all our shows by then. So we were kind of like, okay, off the clock, party time. And there's another band from Leicester called Easy Life that I really like, and they're playing on the main stage. So we're like, we have to go. And James was like, and we were like dragging him there. And he was like, they played a song that is, it's not even a sad song, but he was like, it's their saddest song, but it's not a sad song. And he was weeping. And I was like, you're not okay. And then he did look like shit, to be fair. He was like pale and shaky. He was like, I can't feel my legs. And then I was like, when did you last eat anything? And he was like, and we kind of traced it back, and it had been the day before yesterday.
Oh God.
You know how it is when you're like at a festival and you're sort of like, he ate like a breakfast bar or something. And I was like, hang on a sec. And I went and got on some chips from the like chip place that's just at the bottom of the pyramid stage. I was like, eat some of these. And I was like, no, I can't. And I was like, eat some of these. And then honestly, he had one chip and I just saw like the blood like rush back into him. It was mental. And I was like, there you go. He was like, oh, I feel so much better. I was like, yeah. So
again, they should publicise that you have to eat to survive.
I know. I don't know why no one knows that.
These codes. It's like a BuzzFeed article, isn't it? Five chips, no one knows.
Funny.
Excellent.
I don't want to brag, but I've got a lot of friends in Denmark. And so I knew you were going to choose Carlsberg. So I contacted them because obviously it's the Danish beer, famously.
Anyone.
And so I contacted them for their view on Carlsberg.
Did they say it's the world's shittest beer?
Well, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much everything you said, because they said, we try and avoid it, but unfortunately when we go to Roskilde, which is the major Danish festival, that's all you can get is Carlsberg. So they have a similar problem in Denmark. And they said that someone looked it up for me, they did all my research for me and said it's still 50% of beer sales in Denmark are Carlsberg, like I said, but it's not our choice.
Yeah,
it's just that
it's the only thing available.
It's just that you go to places and there's only Carlsberg. But Jakob, my friend, did give me a little recommendation of a beer called Thor.
Oh, okay. Not heard of that one.
If you go there, I don't even get it here. It's a local one in Denmark. But when you're touring Denmark, which you will do in the future, I'm sure.
Of course.
Look out for some Thor.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
The other thing they have at festivals is Tuborg, but I'm just looking. That's owned by Carlsberg.
Yeah, they merged a while ago.
It's all coming together. It's like Carlsberg. That. Like
big
like
Carlsberg Illuminati. Yeah.
Illuminati type shit. That is nuts. Yeah.
Okay, phones away, put a gag on Siri, it's quiz time. Elvis's black belt was in karate. I saw it on QI. No half points for saying J.K. Rowling is the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
Moira Stewart.
No, I'm afraid it was Gordon Honeycomb.
You like a pub quiz?
I do love pub quiz.
Well, you're in luck because Dan here is going to give us a pub quiz now. Now, I don't know what this is about.
Okay.
Or we can compete in a friendly and kind way.
Mm. Okay.
Dan, what's your pub quiz?
Well, Sophie, I'd like to congratulate you because you are mononymous.
That, you having one that name?
Is, don't you? Having one name. Yes.
Yes.
Like Pele and Madonna.
Like
Pele.
Well, like Madonna and Drake and Marks and Spencer and all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Donatello, let's go. Yeah.
So I thought we could do a quiz about mononymous.
Marks and Spencer, surely that's two names.
It is. Yes. No, it's two people called Marks and Spencer.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So that we do a quiz about mononymous people. Like
okay.
That. Okay. Do you like that idea?
Yes, I love that idea. Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me something more difficult. This could be anything. It's not something I'm supposed to be an expert in.
No,
so.
No, exactly.
If she said she didn't like the idea, would you still have done? Would you still have persevered or would you have a backup quiz?
I would have gone very quiet.
Okay.
Looked at my shoes.
Sad.
I would have been sad and I would have asked you what I do now.
Okay,
we can role play it if you want, but we kind of just did. Yeah, yeah. So
an insight into the fragility of your mental state
exactly.
At the minute.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Do you some Lucozade?
Yeah, I just need a sip of it just for a bit of energy and some chips. Okay, so I'm going to ask these three questions, but don't answer them because we're going to do that in the second part of the show.
How do I remember the answers? Just store them in the dome. I write them down?
We'll give you a. We'll read the questions again in the second half.
Recap
is the word I was looking for. Yes.
Okay.
So we've got three questions.
Okay.
Question one. Which mononymous person had the birth name Sherilyn Sarkeesian? Okay. Mm. Question two. Which mononymous star got ordained in 2018 so that they could officiate the wedding of comedian Alan Carr?
Oh, I actually know that one as well, but I can't remember who it was.
Give it a bit of thought. It might come back to you. And question three, which wise mononymous person once said, never give a sword to a man who can't dance?
I have no idea.
This is well hard.
This is well hard.
This is so hard.
There's.
I love the quiz, though. What a great topic.
When we come back to it, I'll give you bits of, there are clues within the questions, and I'll give you a nudge to help.
Okay.
If you're really
I'll let it like fester.
Exactly.
And something
well,
might
that's
come
very
to
exciting
me.
And is going to be a real highlight of the first few minutes of the second half of
Thanks,
this podcast
mate.
Because it is now time to leave. Those of you who don't support the Moon Underwater on Patreon, if you'd like to subscribe, you can head to moonunderpod.com and sign up to get ad-free extended episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast, and access to the Moon Underwater Social Club on Facebook, and early access to live tickets like the live show we're doing very soon, Dan.
Oh, yeah, we are, aren't we? At the Moth.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
We'll see you soon in part two, where Sophie's going to continue creating a dream pub.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.